Good morning. You guys turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. One thing about public reading, the sins of the nation of Israel, the sins of God's people, provoked them to anger. Guys, we know that God's people, that's the Lord's church. We're God's people. But I want us to consider for a second, you know, the physical country in which we live. United States of America was founded upon godly principles. It was founded upon an understanding that there is a God in heaven who judges all of mankind. And you look around at this physical country, guys, we are provoking God to anger. Now, as a church, we got to take some responsibility for that. Because we haven't been doing our job. We haven't been doing what we're supposed to do. If we were, the wickedness and the evil that's going on around us, there would be more that was said and done about it, and there would be a lot more people whose hearts were actually turned to the Lord. So we got some responsibility in this. But I don't want any of us, I mean, you just look at the upcoming elections, and guys, by the way, the president, who's president of this country, really isn't that big of a deal. I hate to try to minimize that. But it is an indicator of where we're at as a people. And it doesn't look good. What choices do we have? Tweedledee, Tweedledum, you know, I'll let you guys fill in the names there. But I am thankful that in the Lord's church, Jesus Christ is King. And He rules with righteousness and with justice and with truth. And I am thankful to be a part of His kingdom that lasts forever. All right, Romans chapter 4. You guys did a good job of giving me time. I won't use it all on other things than what I'm supposed to be doing, Mr. Simpson. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. It's talking about Abraham, the father of the faithful. Romans chapter 4, I want to read verses 18 through 25. In hope against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore also was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, that the perseverance and encouragement, Lord, of your scriptures, that in them we do find hope. We're thankful, Lord, for the faith that is built within us as you communicate who you are throughout the millennium. Lord, it is good for us to really put our trust in you. We're thankful even, Father, for the various trials. We consider them all joy as they come our way, because we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance. And we know that endurance has its perfect result, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Father, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it, and that we would understand, each of us individually, that we would follow the example of Abraham. And no matter what it is that we're facing or going through, that we would not waver in unbelief, but that we would grow strong in faith. And that You would be glorified through that. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Just, we've been working through the book of Romans, and a couple things are very clear and keep being the theme of the book of Romans, really, is it's about faith. And the reality of it is that works do not bring salvation. Works do not make you righteous. Because Christianity is not a performance-based system. The law of Moses was a performance-based system. He who practices them shall live by them. I don't think we need to repeat the record of that. Nobody carried it out. Christianity is a faith-based system. What you believe saves you. Now, I want to be really careful saying that, because the example that comes in my mind is, we always say, hey, don't put the cart in front of the horse, right? We don't want to get the cart in front of the horse. It's not our works that are going to save us. But the flip side of that, guys, is you better have a cart hooked up. Faith produces works. True belief brings about deeds of righteousness. But the works and the deeds of righteousness flow from what we believe. If we really believe, we do. Hebrews 11 was mentioned this morning by Super Dave. And, you know, looking at Abel, why was his offering? Why was it pleasing to God? It was by faith he did this. James would say, anybody can say they have faith. Abel could have sat there and said, yeah, I have faith, and not brought an offering. He wouldn't have been justified for that. His faith was carried out in what he did. So works are actually a result of righteousness and salvation. Turn with me really quickly to Ephesians chapter 2. Most of us are familiar with this passage of Scripture, but Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, he says, by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Lots of times that's where this passage of Scripture is done being read. We are saved by grace through faith, and not as a result of works. But I do want you to read this morning with me verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, there is a cart here, isn't there? There are works that follow. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are His workmanship for that purpose. But it's faith. It's faith that saves. It's faith that makes righteous. It's faith that produces works that are going to be pleasing to God. Any other works, the Scripture just call them dead works. They're ineffective. Do nothing. And so, faith is necessary. Nobody can please God without it. Hebrews 11 verse 6, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So, faith is really the issue here. It's not about trying harder. Steve Doty likes to say it's about believing more. And so that, this makes me ponder and question in I have some sayings that register and resonate with me from the rest of Scripture. Hey, you boys in the back row, you guys are really distracting me. If you want to talk, please head outside. Thank you. There's some things that really resonate me in reference to this. And you see throughout the Scriptures various times where it's like, Lord, help my unbelief. Jesus calls His own closest followers sometimes, you men of little faith. And I wonder, what is it? What is it that's going to actually take for my faith personally to grow? What is it that's going to take for us to really grow in faith? How do we do that? Stick our Bible under our pillow at night? Actually something interesting that somebody had Bible study with. I'm thankful, but their mom brought me something back. She'd been to Mexico, and it was nice, and a little bookmark. And on top of this bookmark is something called a worry doll. And you're supposed to sleep with this worry doll under your pillow, and you won't worry. And I was thankful for the bookmark. I'm thankful for it. But till I found out it was a worry doll, and then I got worried. I don't know if I should keep this thing on it, or, you know. This has no real relevance. But a lot of people, that's their idea. It's a superstitious sort of thing. Hey, sleeping with something under your pillow isn't going to solve your problems, guys. It's not going to increase your faith. We know from the Scriptures, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. But one of the things that this really promoted and pushed out there in the religious world is to take a blind leap. Just trust in God. Just trust in God. Just trust in God. Just believe. And you guys know one of my favorite examples, the illustrations of that is, I'm not going to go into it today, but Indiana Jones, when he was in search of the Holy Grail, and he takes that leap. And he happens to land on something. Guys, the reality of it is, when people are asking you to take a blind leap, there's nothing there. You're going to end up spiritually dead. Blind leaps end in crash landings. God wants us to build our lives on the solid foundation of faith. And what I want to hammer this morning is, there's no shortcut to this, guys. You have to fight your way through it. Everybody has questions. Go back to our opening passage here. I want you to notice in verse 19 of Romans 4. This is Abraham, the father of the faithful. It says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Abraham had some questions. He contemplated. He thought about this. Everybody has questions. Everybody has to fight their way through this journey. There are no shortcuts. I can't give you my faith. You can't give me your faith. Faith is something ultimately we know it's given by God. But this is something that each one of us got to go through. And with that, I want you to recognize this. Questions aren't necessarily doubts. I know a lot of Christians or people who are thinking about becoming Christians, and they think, oh, I shouldn't ask these questions. Because they've been taught that if you question something, that's a doubt. No, questions are fine. God actually wants us to ask questions. Unresolved questions turn into doubts. God wants us to check things out. I think there's a philosophy, an idea, that when you walk into the church building, you check your brains at the door. I had a professor in college, super smart guy. He was in chemical engineering. I think he actually moved on to be department head, and now he's some other up even position higher than that, Montana State University. Super smart guy. I appreciate it about a God-fearing man. He would even make us consider a few things of that there must be a God, as he would teach us some things in reference to chemistry, just to get the class to think about some stuff. But in some personal interaction that I had with him, it was very obvious to me, his idea of faith is, over here, you have your life. Over here, you work as a professor of chemical engineering. You have these things. But when I go into the realm of faith, I kind of leave the logic mostly behind. It's just an emotional thing. Because that's not right. God doesn't want us to check our brains at the door of the church building. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons we got all these problems is way too many people check their brains at the door of the church building and just trust the guy up front. Don't do that. You got to check it out. Abraham had some questions. He was willing to check them out. Satan is the one, guys, who wants you to turn off your brains. Just go off of feelings. Satan is smart enough to work both sides of this thing. He's the one who tempts, isn't he? He's the one who steals, kills, and destroys. But you know what? In your destruction, he's willing to give you help. He's willing to offer you solutions to the problems that he created. Doesn't that bother you a little bit? Hey, you're on your computer and something comes up and says, "Oh, hey, you got a virus. Call this number and we'll help you solve." Hey, that ought to make you, push the shutdown button, right? Hey, you don't call that number. Those guys are there. They're there to. I don't know how it works. I never tried calling them. Wouldn't suggest you do it. Hey, but they're offering a solution. That's the way the devil operates. Hey, he just wants you this blind leap. God wants us to think our way through this. And so, what are some questions, or what are some things we can learn from Abraham, our father in the faith? Abraham thought it through. He contemplated his own body as good as dead. He didn't ignore the tough questions. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you one other instance. Romans 4 is talking about. We've spoken about the last few weeks. That's him being able to give birth, okay? And Sarah being able to give birth, him and Sarah together being able to have a child when they were both well past the age of childbearing. But we know there's another time when Abraham's faith was tested. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said in Isaac, "Your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Yes, Abraham didn't just do this without thinking it through. Go offer up your son, your only son. I've seen movie portrayals where he's yelling at God. I don't get any of that from the Scripture. I also don't get that he just did this without thinking. Scripture says he considered. He thought this through. Let's see. God promised me in Isaac, your descendants will be called. So he's not going to give me another son that is going to be fulfilled through. It's got to be through this guy. Okay. The conclusion he came up with is God's going to be able to raise the dead. He thought, okay, God can do this. He brought him into being in the first place, miraculously. God can bring him back. Now, we know God had a little different solution to that, but that's the conclusion he came to. Isn't that the faith we're talking about? The faith in God to be able to raise the dead? Amen. So, guys, I guess what I want us personally to think about today, we don't all have the same questions, but I think we all, if we're living, breathing, engaging in war with our enemy, in spiritual battle, okay, then, we all got some questions. We all got stuff we got to fight through. And like I said before, God isn't offended by those. He wants us to think them through. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. See if you're in the faith. Hey, Jesus says something like this. I'm putting all caps here. But keep asking, seeking, and knocking, right? This is continual. This means keep doing this. This is what the Greek communicates. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, the door shall be open. This is how we continue as we progress in our Christian lives. We continue to grow in faith. Some of us, maybe we're not Christians yet. Maybe we have questions about the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. One thing you got to come to grips with, you got to figure this out. Is this thing the Word of God or not? And if it is, then you got to take all of it. There are a lot of people who say it's the Word of God, but then there's parts of it they actually want to cut out. Hey, you don't get to do that. Hey, if God has, and somebody mentioned, Nolan, I think, the prophecies that God set forth, you can approach this from a bunch of different ways, but you can nail down, this thing is true. And if this is true, then you don't have a vote in which part is applicable to your life. You're going to go with it. You don't get to be, in the world of education, all of our theologians, there's these guys who subscribe to something called higher criticism. And higher criticism of the Scriptures. And they get together and vote, and they decide that actually Isaiah wasn't really written, all of it, by Isaiah. Isaiah was written by two different guys, right? And they get together and they vote, and the words of Red aren't really. They're not really the words of Jesus. I mean, he said some of these. And they cast their votes as to which. who are these guys? Hey, I'm going to pick on the Catholics for a second. How the Catholics get to decide? I mean, supposedly the Pope's infallible when it comes to matters of religion. How come the popes over the years have changed their mind? Hey, these guys aren't infallible. They don't get to do that. Jesus Christ is Lord. What the Scripture says, okay, that's what goes. But we got to fight our way through that. You have to be willing to look at the physical evidence. And what bothers me is there's a few of us, I know from personal conversations, that we are sitting on unresolved questions and we're doing nothing about it. You don't get... Let me just put it this way. To not make a decision is to make a decision. You can sit there and say, well, I'm just not fully convinced the Scripture is the Word of God. What are you doing to find the answers to that? You have to be able to determine one way or the other. It's the reality. If you don't, you're playing with fire, literally. I wouldn't suggest doing that. Hey, look at the physical evidence. Look at the prophecies. Think about the logical holes of atheism. There are a lot of them. You got to be willing to look at those. The logical ramifications of Christ's resurrection. If you need to, even read Richard Dawkins. He's a self-proclaimed greatest atheist in the world. Right? The God delusion. I wouldn't say that's for everybody, but hey, if that's stuff you got to wrestle with, wrestle with it. Read it. Read Ravi Zacharias, Can Man Live Without God? Read it. Ask yourself the questions and don't quit until you, and compare the two honestly. Don't quit until you come to answers. Don't let yourself off the hook. Talking about faith, let's actually go to Acts chapter 17 for a second. Acts 17, verses 30. I'm going to read 30 through 34 here. It says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God's now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because He's fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. Now when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. So Paul went out of their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So God's fixed a day in which He's going to judge the world, and He's furnished proof. If you look at that, He's furnished faith by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. All the proof you need to have a faith that there is a day of judgment coming, God's provided that. But look at the response. Some just blew it off, began to sneer. Others said, oh, we'll hear you again concerning this. That's fine. But let me ask you, how many times do you have to hear again? You understand what I'm saying? There are people who I work with who they're going to hear again. 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 And do what? Some point you got to move. Some believed and followed, didn't they? The proof's in the pudding. They believed and they followed. So faith, one of these things. Some of us got scriptures or got questions about what the Scripture teaches concerning salvation. And there's a whole lot of easy, a whole lot of plans of salvation that are sold because they're easy. Hey, just say this prayer and you're in. You know, for some reason, guys, I've read this thing multiple times. Never found that prayer yet. Now, if we check our brains at the door, that might work. But you're going to stay engaged and you actually want a true faith. You want something that's based on truth. You're going to follow this through, aren't you? Say, well, wait a second. How come I never seen that in here? That's not what God says about salvation. You got to fight it. You got to fight through it. What does the Bible say about salvation? Check it out. A lot of us here, most of us here, are Christians, and the Assembly of the Saints is for Christians. And so we got things in our own lives we're trying to fight through. Hey, I'm not going to tell you this thing's easy. But I want to tell you the one way to lose is to quit. You don't get, if you're serious about this, you fight your way through the questions that you have. How do I overcome sin? How do I really overcome sin? That's a question every one of us got to get down and wrestle with and fight with. How do we do this with the help of the Lord? That's what Romans is about, isn't it? About faith is going to produce obedience. How does that happen? You know what the reality of it is? Most of us have to lose in order to learn how to win. Most of us have to get sick and tired of losing before we really want to win. Now be careful here. Because some people justify losing and they learn how to be good losers. That's not what the Lord's interested in. You understand what I'm saying? You can't beat yourself up every time you lose, but you better go, that better spur you to watch the tape, if you will, and figure out what is God's plan for victory? All this stuff that we preach and teach about new creation, worship, and you know what? This is God's plan for victory because God wins. And His people win. And He has a means for His people to be victorious and to overcome. It's not just theoretical stuff. It's you start digging in. You say, how am I going to win? Oh, this is what God says. This is how He does it. Stuff we got to individually fight our way through. No matter the question, brethren, you can find the answers. And when I say that, maybe you can't understand all of the whys to a particular question right now. And when I say whys, I mean W-H-Y. However that, I don't know if whys is a correct way to say that or not. Mrs. Simpson will let me know later, I'm sure. But you might not understand why about everything. But you know God's character. He's given you so much. You've seen, you know God's character and you trust that He's right. There's no way that Abraham could figure out how in the world Sarah's going to have a kid other than God says it's going to happen. And Abraham and Sarah, might I add, without being too controversial here, they had to, or without touching on two topics that are risque here, they had to do something about that. They had to believe God enough to go for it. That's the truth. They had to check it out. They had to fight through and believe this. So, you know, what about us? Don't rest, guys. Don't let failures define you. You might not understand in the moment how, why this works. There's a saying, the teacher doesn't talk during test time. But you know God's faithful. And you're going to grow. And you're going to look back later. And you're going to... So that example that I brought up at the very beginning of Indiana Jones and that bridge. And that bridge, he's walking across. You know, the example I've used is, you know, he should have thrown some dirt and he can see something's there. You can see something's there, but I'm not telling you're going to be able to see all the way to the other side. God never says you're going to see all the way to the other side. What you know is that it is solid and you can take the next step. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, isn't it? The conviction of things not seen. Abraham, he was fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. It was in hope against hope he believed. He didn't waver. He grew strong in faith. What he believed was that God was able to perform what he had promised. Again, guys, the belief isn't belief in ourselves. It's in God and His faithfulness. So what's this really about? Is it really about Abraham? Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It was credited to him as righteousness. The end of Romans 4 says that wasn't just for Abraham. It's for us. It's been written for us. What are we to believe? What do we hang on to against all odds? Now I want to just bring up the thief on the cross for a second. A lot of people kind of bring up the example of the thief on the cross and say, you know, when it comes to the question of baptism, say, yeah, the thief on the cross never was baptized, so you don't really have to be baptized to be saved. I'll just throw this in for free, because that's actually under the terms of the Old Covenant. Jesus, in person, said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And he forgave him of his sins there while he was on the cross, and then they both died, and I trust that what Jesus said was true. But Jesus isn't going to show up in your room tonight and say, "Dang, your sins are forgiven you." That's not the way he works. He works in accordance with the terms of his will. The New Testament. So, you can, following Jesus' death, see how people were saved. That's just for free. But I do want you to recognize something. The thief on the cross wasn't saved without faith. Jesus didn't just say, "I kind of like that guy, I'll pick him." There were two there. "Yeah, this guy doesn't have as dirty of a mouth, I'll save him." That's not what it was about. You think about what that thief said. And it seems to me they both, if you read the gospel accounts, they both started cursing and all that, and then one guy came to his senses. But you think about what that thief came to. "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Say what? These guys are both dying. They're like, number one, that guy'd been hearing he'd heard the message, hadn't he? Even if he had rejected up till that point in time, to be able to say that, he'd been listening to the gospel that was preached about Jesus and the kingdom. "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." He's got to come to the conclusion, this guy's coming back to life. Why else would you tell him to remember you when you come in your kingdom? He believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That faith saved him. What do we believe in? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What I want you to think about today, questions aren't bad. Unresolved questions are where doubts come from. Fight your way through whatever the questions are that you have. The answers are here. Let God help you build your faith. Recognize Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and he's done that so that we can be righteous in him. Let's close 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 20 and 21. "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." God raised Jesus Christ from the dead so that you and I could be declared righteous. What are you going to do with that? Some sneer. I'll hear you again concerning that. Some believe and follow. Guys, you get immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and God puts His Spirit in you. The devil doesn't quit. The devil cranks up his opposition against you because he had you. And he no longer has you. You know what you're going to have to do? Not waver in unbelief, but grow strong in faith. And there are no shortcuts to that, brethren. Nobody else can do that for you. So dig in. Have fun. God will help you. It's not belief in yourself. It's belief in God. He is faithful. He is able to accomplish this. You believe that? Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we do again praise you for what you've done for us. We're thankful, Father, that you are a dad who says we can talk about anything. Any questions are fair game. You've gone to great lengths, Lord, to provide the answers for anybody who's honest. We're thankful, Lord, then this is not something that we do just because, This is something we do because we do want to. We love you. And you have given us everything that we need to take that next step. Lord, we're excited. We're excited for the mission that's in front of us. The mission that you've given us personally. And Lord, this is a question we all got to ask too. What's your will for me in my life? What does that look like? How does that play out with me and the strengths and abilities you've given me? We're excited about that, Lord, to understand your will and to make the most of the time because the days are evil. Lord, we just ask, it's prayer and fasting today, Lord. We do ask for those who are lost. Father, we ask that their hearts and minds would be open to the gospel. We ask for strength to love them, even when they're unlovable. We ask for strength to be willing to ask them some spiritual questions and have spiritual discussions with them. Lord, we ask for the strength that we would follow through in our own lives, that we would be those who are good examples. They would see us and want to follow you. We're thankful for the good news. We're thankful for the results of righteousness, Lord. You are truly good. And we want to think the way you think. We want to do the things that you do. And with the power of your Spirit in our lives, Lord, we can do that. We're so thankful for the help that you've given us. We do ask that you be glorified through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.